School of Podcasting, episode number 31.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Oh, we're doing a live show today. That's right. Off the cuff. Well, kinda. I've been at the Virtual Podcasting Expo all weekend, so I've got a couple quick announcements. Number one, it's going to be a short show based on user feedback. I forget who it was, but they sent me a note. They went over to schoolofpodcasting.com and left me a note and said, I liked your show a lot better when it was shorter. So my apologies for getting long-winded. Speaking of the show, if you'd like to subscribe to this, simply go out to schoolofpodcasting.com. There's a link right at the top. For the show notes, go out to schoolofpodcasting.net. If you'd like to send me an email, it's schoolpodcasting@gmail.com. I'd like to say hello to any of the new friends I made over at the expo. And some very cool stuff that was going on, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that, as well as today we'll be doing some listener mail. In fact, let's do that first. I went over to the site over at schoolpodcasting.net. That's where you can see all the show notes. And in show number 30... called Should I Buy an iPod? And I talked about getting along in the community. We'll talk about that again a little bit today. Got a note from, I'm going to say Pharrell, from TalkingCommunications.com. It says, Dave, I love your show, and I'm a new student at the School of Podcasting. Thanks for being a subscriber. Appreciate that. I heard your comment about being able to see, it is a live show. I've got to read, and I don't have my glasses on. I heard your comment about being unable to delete files off your iPod. Actually, you can do this without syncing. Just go into the preference in iTunes, click on the iPod tab, and check manually manage songs and playlists. Then you can go into the iPod through iTunes, through the iTunes screen and delete away. Hence the point I was talking about. You're still going through iTunes. I wanted to hold the iPod in my hand, not connected to the computer, and say, delete. And you can't do that. Says you still have to hook it up to the computer, but it does give you direct control over those files. Well, yeah, it does, but I want a delete button on my actual iPod. And the bad news is I followed his directions, and after it syncs my iPod, it doesn't. I have to manually eject my iPod now, even though I've gone back in and put the check mark in. But the joys of software, eh? But I appreciate the heads up. I know exactly what you're talking about. I was looking for a delete button on my iPod. I didn't want to have to go through iTunes. Next up, we have George Smith from Eclectic Mix. That's ECLECTI. Oh, boy. See, I got to read. ECLECTICMIX.com. George, thank you very much. Says, Dave, just a note. Thanking you for your review of the iPod. I guess for me, the automation is really a negative as opposed to a positive. Then again, it could just be the way I do things. I've tried WordPress, but in selecting my options, I made it completely non-functional, so I wrote my own software. Well, you go, George. It says, I use my MP3 player very differently than is apparently required by the iPod. In the morning, I run a simple select on all new podcasts that have come into my computer. Some I want to move to my MP3 player, others I want to copy. By moving them, they are removed from my hard drive, but I copy. In other words, I don't delete. Sometimes since we're going to talk 2006, I refer to copying as cloning, you know, but I copy the Podictionary shows as I collect them to burn to CD for my father. Very cool. Getting pops into the podcasting game here. I also want to keep copies of my own podcasts. The podcasts on my MP3 player normally get deleted after I listen to them, but there have been times when I have wanted to hold on to them. For instance, a recent Music Nerve show I held on because I wanted to listen to it again. Also, by keeping the podcast on the player, it reminds me that I'm not done with it for a number of reasons. For instance, I held on to your last podcast as a reminder to send you this comment. So, while automation is well and good for some people, for those like me who have their own way of doing things, suddenly I want to bust into Fleetwood Mac. You know, you can go your own way. Anyway, I digress. See, I'm very tired. The expo was like it went on forever. Like, in fact, it's still going on. It's 8:15. I gotta get this podcast done in the next 45 minutes so I can go back to the closing ceremonies. Let's get back to George, Dave, shall we? For those like me who do things their own way, it would almost certainly result in disappointment. By the way, iTunes doesn't work on my computer at home for some unknown reason. So unless the MP3 player shows up, it is a live show. As I plug in, it just wouldn't work for me. Let me get my phone. Is everyone getting that tip? Yes, it's the ex-wife, so she's definitely getting a call back later. Woohoo! I love live shows. By the way, iTunes doesn't work on my computer at home for some unknown reason. So unless the MP3 player shows up as a drive when I plug it in, I just wouldn't work for me. That is true. Especially older, like an older iRiver, like an 899, you can't sync, but the 1T something you can. So anyway, please continue with a helpful podcast. I've been subscribed for a while and always enjoy listening. Cheers. Well, thank you very much, George. And then I got another comment from Chris Christensen, and he gave me an audio comment, which is cool. So here is Chris.
Hi, Dave. This is Chris Christensen from the Amateur Traveler Podcast. Small correction to your previous show where you talked about the relationship between XML and RSS. You had said that an XML file is an RSS file. It's actually the other way around. XML is a file that is an extensible markup language is what it stands for, and basically if you open up an XML file, all you'll see is a series of labels and a series of values, and it's made to be written by programs and it's made to be read by programs. And the way it works is the two programs that are going to communicate to each other just establish a series of tags or a series of labels that are expected to be there, and one particular set of labels is the RSS file. And so the RSS file, for instance, has particular labels like the title of your podcast or the title of your feed, the language it's in, the copyright, and those sort of things that are developed by convention that the programs that are expecting to read your RSS file will look for those tags. You can actually have other tags in there. You could have tags that say, and when I recorded this particular episode, I was wearing a blue shirt. It's just that the programs that are reading those particular files would ignore any tags that they didn't understand. So I hope that helps out, and thanks again for the wonderful job you're doing on your show.
All right, Chris, I'm praying that didn't record. I have a fart noise play when I receive mail. And there's a very good possibility that that got mixed in. I got mail while I was listening to Chris's, let me close my browser now. Oh, live shows. Aren't they just a treat? Thank you very much, Chris. Check him out at amateurtraveler.com. Very cool show. I actually went over and listened to it and made me want to ride my bike. Very, very cool. All right, we're at 8 minutes, so I got a couple minutes here to wrap up on the Podcasting Expo. Number one, let's give you a here's an idea if you want to promote your podcast and you got the money to do it. Logo your audio. There's a very cool presentation from these guys where you can actually get your logo put on an MP3 player. So maybe and what's cool is it says on the site you have a minimum purchase of 20 for some of those. I believe that's now down to 10, and he's actually very close to having one-offs, which will be very, very cool. So you could give those away with prizes with your podcast on it. iAmplify.com has already been added to the many resources at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Another way to sell your podcast if you're looking for that. And I also owe you guys an apology. I said I was going to be interviewing Rich Palmer, and I kind of really got sucked into the expo when I wasn't manning my booth. I was in the seminars. So we're going to interview Rich Palmer in the next podcast, but I did want to give Rich some props here on his new old podcast, formerly known as something, now known as Audio Gumshoe.
When she knocks on the door, I could sense big trouble. Not just any trouble, but the kind that makes you raise an eyebrow and look for the exits. She said that a band with no listeners is like a dog with no bark. Quiet. She didn't like quiet. Read the shingle, Mac. It says Audio Gumshoe. It's time to uncover some independent music.
This is Rich Palmer, host of Audio Gumshoe. You might remember me from that Miami Valley show. You know, the one in Southwest Ohio? Join me twice weekly as I uncover independent music of every genre and every style.
Audio Gumshoe.
At audiogumshoe.com.
So check out Rich. I was checking out. He's got Sofia Ramos and... oh, something Engelbert something in the show that I was looking at. And those are two of my favorite PodSafe artists. Also, coming in future shows, I'll be reviewing Mobile Entertainment Magazine. I got my first copy today, and I'll let you know if that's worth the $7 an issue. Crikey! So I've been hanging out with an Australian guy all day, so crikey! Anyway, speaking of Australian guys, kudos to Rob from Co-op World. Let me give you the rundown. If you're, I was listening to a podcast... and they were talking about the expo, and the guy just kept saying, "I don't get it. What is it? I don't get it." And to be honest with you, when I signed up, I didn't get it either. I had no clue. And I got to tell you, let me ask you this question. Do you remember the first time you rode a bike, or the first time you tied your shoe, or remember in kindergarten when you had to learn how to write your name? It wasn't very easy. It was awfully bumpy, in some cases on your bike, very bumpy and kind of painful. But you made it through it, and you learn what to do and what not to do, and you move forward. Well, Friday night, if you had asked me about the expo, I would have said, wow, this is a great idea, horrible communication, poorly planned, buggy, I was a grumpy Gus, buddy. I was not a happy camper. I spent hours in a booth, and the technology did not alert the general public that I was in my booth. So... sorry, my dog wanted in. Don't you love live shows? And this is ridiculous. What a train wreck. So anyway, so Friday night, I'm really, really upset. And I walked in and talked to this guy named Rob from Co-op World. That's Co-op World. And, you know, just vented at the poor guy. Well, here, this guy's got 15 hours sleep in the last 4 days, and I'm just, you know, giving him a new one. And by the end of Friday night... I had kind of popped in and out of the expo, met some folks there, and most of my concerns had been taken care of, you know. And it just started with bumps. Like, I had issues with cookies when I was signing up, and then there was multiple login name and passwords, and little tips and tricks that, you know, just weren't there, that I kind of had to find out the hard way. Learning curves, I guess you could call that. Now, by Saturday, all right... this whole weekend, I've not felt great. But I went back to the expo at 6 o'clock. Everything was working fine. The man booth bug had been taken care of. And, you know, the attendance wasn't phenomenal. Okay, I think maybe over 100 people signed up. But all those people weren't online at the same time. So a lot of the seminars, you'd have, I don't know, 30 to 50 people. But... when I said, okay, let's attend some of these seminars, they were phenomenal. The networking that was going on was great. And I've said this before, I haven't met a jerk yet in podcasting. Okay, Penny Haynes was the person that organized this, a first pod. If you go to the number one, stpod.com, and she, along with this Rob guy, were really doing their best to pull it together. In fact, they had backup plans in case they had too much attendance. So they had thought some of this through. And they were using technology from this company called Talking Communities. So there was a little, like, Co-op World was shaping the technology from another company, and then Penny was working with Co-op World. So there were a lot of different pieces to the puzzle, and I think that's why they had some growing pains. But I got to tell you, the coolest thing was I did my presentation. So what is the expo? What is it? I don't get it. It's a chat room on steroids. In fact, I could see where... I'm going to talk to the guys at Co-op World. I can see where maybe podcasters might want to rent one of these rooms. It's a virtual conference room where people can log in, and if they have a microphone, they can hold down the control key and talk, and everybody can hear them. But if they don't have a microphone, they can type in text. So it's a chat room with audio, but then the moderator, and you can pass the moderator baton around if you want, and you can surf to different websites and everybody can see it. And in my case, I had a PowerPoint presentation that I went through and everyone could see my slides. So it was a very cool tool for communication. So that's what the expo was. And then you had that's where the seminars were. And then the booths, you could go there and I would man there. And it was basically the same type of room, only I was the moderator and I could talk to people that showed up. And I was talking to some fine people from Denmark, which was kind of cool. So it was definitely interesting. I'm glad I went. Now, that's from me, from a guy who put out $50 for a booth. Okay, now, if I'd put out, I think it was $1,000 for a sponsorship, I might be a little peeved. But the expo had a definite identity problem in the fact that a lot of people are going, what is it? And now that we've seen it, I think next year will be better. And it'll be better just because we had a lot of really great brainstorming, and that leads me to my next story. So I did my presentation, and I'm almost done. I know we're at 16 minutes. We get done with the presentation, right, mine, and I'm answering questions and such. And the next presenter had a family emergency, so we had an hour to just kill because, unfortunately, this woman, I believe it was a woman, had to attend to her 4-year-old who unfortunately had stuffed a piece of popcorn up their nose. So, you know, families come first, always. So she was off to take care of that. So we had an hour. We had about 37 people in this room. And so what we did is Penny took over and said, hey, why don't we just do some mentoring here? So there were about 5 people that were just getting into podcasting, you know, newbies. And there was myself and Penny and many other people who had been podcasting for a while. And we asked them what their podcast was going to be about, if they had any questions and things like that. And it was this phenomenal chemistry of people working together. There were no egos. There were no, you know, hey, it's my turn now kind of thing going on. It was great. So if you see someone, you know, bashing the expo, I urge you to ask them, what day did you go on? And they say, well, I showed up Friday night and I turned around and left. You missed Saturday and Sunday. Could it have been better? Oh, absolutely. And this is where I go back to my previous show. I think it was 30, Getting Along in the Community. I could give you my list of things that I would improve. And I've already said them. Some of it was communication. Some of it was this. Some of it, just a lot of little things that I just kind of go, yeah. And Penny and Rob have been eager. They're like pulling it out of me. And I told them about the cookie issue, and they said, "Yeah, we've realized this. It's on the." And they're already making the list for next year. So if you were at the expo, you know, definitely go over to it was virtualpodcastingexpo.com, and you can feel free to drop them feedback. They are urging everyone for feedback because we all, I think, realize the potential of the expo this weekend. If you missed it, it was pretty cool. It was, I didn't know what to expect. My first reaction, my first impression was not a good one, but they did a good job of pulling it out the last 2 days. If you were in attendance, you can log in and download the seminars, which I will be doing, and then kind of commenting on for future editions of the school podcasting for the students only version for those that couldn't make it. So it is at I'm almost at the 19 minute mark, so I am going to shut up. I know we like to keep them short, and I failed miserably today. And want to thank you for taking time to download the school podcasting's morning announcements, and I'm turning down the wrong knob. That's funny. It is a live show. Now you guys know I don't do live shows. I'm horrible. Check me out at schoolpodcasting.net for the show notes. Send me an email at schoolpodcasting@gmail.com or phone it in 888-563-3228 to find out more about our tutorials. And it's over already? Look at that, I'm out of music. Well, you know what? Let's hit the long one. There you go. Because I'm not done yet. If you'd like to know more about our tutorials and things like that, and are you ready for this? For sticking around to the end of this, I have a couple coupons left. Okay? Check out schoolpodcasting.com, and when you sign up, sign up, use the coupon code EXPO, E-X-P-O, and receive 50% off the already low, low price of $4.99 a month. And I had a 100 coupons made up, and I'm not sure how many have been used, but I know I have some left. So get them while they're hot. Again, when you sign up, it's the coupon code EXPO. And thank you for taking time. We'll have Rich Palmer in the next one. Thank you for tuning in. And until we meet again, class dismissed.